Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, John Rahor, JB Jors. We're talking some Packers football. We're still not over the debacle in Seattle. To talk about that game, shed a little insight into that game, we have us joining, as he does every Wednesday here at Railbird Central, Nathan Yonke. Nathan, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Very good. Very good. Could be better, I guess, in the wake of Monday's game, but all things considered, I'm doing all right. And you know, Nathan, just because it's normally you're here to offer your insight and analysis into the football game, but I'm not sure what you can offer in terms of that final play. What's your opinion, or do you have anything on that final play that could be of interest?
Yeah, my opinion is similar to basically everyone else's, in that the refs got the call wrong on the field, and technically they can't review the simultaneousness of the catch, which I think is something that back in the day they didn't want to be reviewing everything, and slowly we've been working more towards that. But what I was most concerned with is how little communication it seemed like occurred between the refs, since I'm used to hearing the refs tell us before the review, this is what we called, this is what we're reviewing, and then after the review saying, this is why we called what we called. We're looking back at the tape, we see the two refs almost at the very same time signal two different things. The refs only say the pass play is under review, and then at the end saying the review stands, touchdown, without giving an explanation of why, and us not hearing until later some analysis telling us why the refs may have done what they did. And then having it take so long to kick that extra point, it just felt like the refs weren't in as much control as they should have been.
From what I understand, I thought the play is reviewable as long as that simultaneous catch occurs within the end zone and not the goal lines. I thought I read that in Peter King's article at Sports Illustrated. Am I correct in that? Do you know?
I'm not exactly sure. I feel like I've read different things over the past day or two as well. And I think it's something where the rule was originally written in that they didn't want to review a lot of things. And now we've moved towards, if a team gets a call right twice, they get a third review. All of the touchdowns are reviewed. So I think we've been working more and more towards allowing things to be reviewed because we want to get things right. But we just haven't followed up and changed the rules that I don't think that's clear enough, and the ref probably interpreted it one way when it probably could also get interpreted other ways.
I see. Fair enough. Let's talk about what actually happened during the rest of the game, for the exception of one play. The Packers didn't look very good on offense, especially in the first half. They gave up 8 freaking sacks in the first half. Tell me, Nathan, who is at fault?
The player that we should most be concerned about is Brian Bulaga, who looked like he was turning things around after his first year. But in this game, he allowed 2 sacks, 1 hit, and 8 hurries, which isn't good. Part of it also can be on Aaron Rodgers, in that there were a few times where he should have just thrown the ball away, which he doesn't do as often as other quarterbacks, but he didn't do once in this game, so part of it is also on him. And then throughout, outside of those two, it's pretty much spread around the rest of the offense, and one offensive lineman allowed 1 sack, John Kuhn allowed 1 of them, and the only one to really have a good game was Sitton, who only allowed 1 pressure throughout the entire game.
Sticking with the offense here, the Packers' run game was kind of interesting. They do nothing in the first half, hardly even run the ball in the first half, and then they run heavily in the second half and do well. What did you notice about the difference between the two halves there?
Well, first off, there was definitely the clear difference in the Packers' philosophy. and that in the first half they used either one wide receiver or zero wide receivers on just 6.7% of plays, and then the second half they used it 42.2% of plays. So that was a huge increase. In terms of how successful they were at running the ball, those first four runs were really good in that they got, I think, 6 yards, 9 yards, stuff like that. So on the first four carries, he had 29 yards, but in his 13 other carries throughout the game, he only had 16 yards. So he was successful over the short term, and then Seattle adjusted and was able to stop the run game. But that was enough for the Packers to get a few good pass plays in. And then Seattle really beat up themselves in terms of getting penalties, which allowed the Packers to score the points that they did.
What's up with Randall Cobb? I barely saw him on the field this game, which is kind of weird for a guy who's, you know, made such a big impact.
Yeah, that was interesting that he had such a good game the first week, and then he's barely been used these last 2 weeks. He was used in only 9 snaps, since the majority of the Packers' formations would include James Jones and Jordy Nelson out wide, and then Greg Jennings in the slot, which I would personally find it more effective if they move Greg Jennings out wide with Jordy Nelson and put Cobb in the slot, and then we see less of James Jones, who actually had a pretty good game considering this past game. But it's been interesting that the Packers haven't used Cobb as much, so it might be hit or miss what games we see him a lot in.
A pretty good defensive performance from the Packers on the other side of the football on their defense against Seattle. They hold, you know, Russell Wilson to a less than 50% completion rate. Who played well on the defensive side of the ball?
The vast majority of all of the cornerbacks played very well, which is promising for the Packers. Charles Woodson was thrown at 4 times and didn't allow a catch. Casey Hayward was thrown at twice. Once he deflected the pass, and then the other time he made the tackle short of a first down on a third down play. Jerron McMillan has been one of the best safeties in the league so far this year. He was only thrown at once and deflected the one pass, so he is yet to allow a completion this year. Sam Shields will technically go down in the books as allowing one catch for 24 yards. But one of the great things about what we do at Pro Football Focus is we grade players on every play, so we don't have to grade Shields negatively for that pass play because we don't think he is to blame for getting pushed to the ground.
Very good. I might have to quote you on that, Jerron McMillan. I think you said, quote, Jerron McMillan has been one of the best safeties in the league so far. That's pretty interesting.
Right.
The Packers now have to move on. They got to play the New Orleans Saints this upcoming Sunday. What can the Packers expect out of a New Orleans team that's kind of surprisingly 0-3 this year?
Yeah, they have not been as good as anticipated, which my best guess is it has to do with them losing their coach. Something that will be nice for the Packers is the Saints have not been good at rushing the passer. They've only had 34 overall pressures this season, which in comparison, the Packers as a team have had 50, where the Saints have played quarterbacks who like to hold on to the ball, so the Saints should have gotten more pressure in that time. And then their secondary also hasn't been doing very well. They have a rookie, Corey White, starting, who's already allowed 14 catches for 203 yards. So the Packers should be able to pick up their passing game against this defense after playing a bunch of teams that are good in terms of their secondary. Where the Saints' offense isn't as good as it has been in the past, so we might see a lot more higher scoring game than what we've seen these last couple weeks out of the Packers.
Well, we hope the Packers can get a win. Nathan, thank you. Have you seen an increase in traffic this week after what happened on Monday night at ProFootballFocus.com? Do you know that?
We may have. I haven't even been able to take a look at those numbers yet. I've stayed up late after the game seeing what people had to say and then had to wake up early Tuesday to watch 3 games in a row and analyze them. So I haven't even had time to check those kind of things yet.
Fair enough. But thanks a lot, Nathan. We appreciate your analysis as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep, have a good one.
All right. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us here on Railbird Central this morning here at CheeseheadTV.com. And thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on the show today. If you want to comment on today's show, you might have to use Twitter, either the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player, or use the hashtags CheeseheadTV, or use the hashtags Railbird. Doesn't look like your comments are being approved this morning, but I know there's a lot of you listening anyway, so thanks for listening and tuning in this morning here. We'll have the podcast up later today. Here I am. I'm in stunned silence. My reaction is the same as most of you listening to the show out there. I don't know what to say about what happened on Monday night that's going to appease anybody or say anything differently than you've probably heard already. I think it's a mockery, of the NFL, what happened. A Travis Schmockery, that word that been thrown around, a combination of travesty, sham, and mockery. but I don't know if it's travesty, but definitely, the NFL is the butt of many jokes today. And, it's clear something has to happen. And I guess it's a shame that, yesterday the report is that nothing has changed between the NFL and the officials union. And, personally, here I am. I never thought it was right to expect the NFL to overturn the outcome of the game. At some point, there's going to be a blown call, by the regular refs figures in the outcome of the game. There probably has been that already. And I don't expect the NFL to overturn those calls either when the regular refs return. It's just something you got to accept, live with, and move on. But what I do expect the NFL should do is, get this figured out. Come on. It's time. This was the breaking point. And this is not a Green Bay thing. Except for maybe the fans in Seattle. This has reached national proportions. That everybody agrees the wrong call was made on Monday night. Everybody agrees the Packers won that football game. it's not even a question. People in Seattle might be living in ignorant bliss, but that's about it. All I want the NFL to do is figure this out with the regular officials. Let's get them back and let's move on into what is the greatest sport in the world, in my opinion, in pretty much America's opinion. We'll get on the rest of the world in the future here, but anyhow, I said it in my column at Cheesehead TV yesterday. It's really disappointing because this is going to have a bearing on the whole rest of the season. That game. Is what the story of the 2012 Green Bay Packers is going to be about. Perhaps if the Packers end up winning the Super Bowl, that'll dominate perhaps more. All the way up to the Super Bowl, this story is going to be dominating the headlines and how the rest of the season plays out, because it can have such a bearing on what the Packers could and will do the rest of the year. I laid out all the potential consequences in yesterday's point of view column. it could be the difference between home field advantage for the playoffs or not. It could be the difference between a bye in the playoffs to the divisional round or not. It could be the difference between winning the division, winning the NFC North, and hosting a home playoff game or not. And in fact, it could be the difference between making the playoffs or not and sitting on the couch and watching them. You know, that's what's at stake here. That, you know, if I was a betting man, I'd be willing to bet that this game has an impact on one of those things I just mentioned. I think there's a better chance of that happening than not happening. I mean, wow. Ted the Sledge chimes in on the live blog. Packers defense played an awesome game and the refs took it away. Disturbing. You know, that's basically, I think the sentiment of pretty much most Packer fans. You know, I've gotten a comment from a few Seattle fans telling me to worry about the rest of the game and not one play. Right? And I've seen those comments everywhere. And that really is, at a time like this, kind of short-sighted. You know, in most cases, I would agree. In a tough loss that came down to the last play, had Golden Tate legitimately caught that football, I would agree. But it was the wrong call that cost this football game. I have no clue what that ref was thinking. I still don't. Go check out Jamie Jor's avatar on Twitter. It is so freaking clear that MD Jennings came up with that football. I don't know how you can say otherwise. I mean, nobody's denying Golden Tate got his hands on the football, that he wasn't touching it, but to rule he had any sort of possession, simultaneous or not, is ridiculous. Kevin, K Lamb Cheesehead on our live blog checking in, brings up a good point here. The Walden flag is the play I can't believe they flagged. And that's not all. And Nathan Yonke brought up the other play, you know, with Sam Shields being called for pass interference shortly after that. There were three blown calls late in that game that pretty much, if any of them had been called in the Packers' favor or just not called at all, you know, that or called the right way in terms of the last play, you know, we could be talking about a Packers victory right now. The Walden play, he got called for roughing the passer, for tackling Russell Wilson. You know, what they deemed, I guess, late. You know, I'm not sure how Eric Walden stops his momentum there. I'm all for protecting the quarterback, and he especially, you know, it wasn't a dirty hit whatsoever. You know, that I understand. Flag those. But, you know, anyway, he just tackles Russell Wilson. It takes away Jerron McMillan's interception. Jerron McMillan, who Nathan Yonke says playing like one of the best safeties in the NFL. Rookie Jerron McMillan couldn't even play week one. I suppose he came in late in week one, pardon me. He did replace MD Jennings. Anyhow, Will Carlisle, Ted the Sledge on our live blog, saying, Wilson was way out of the pocket scrambling. Can't call a low hit on the QB there. So that, and then they call pass interference on Sam Shields, you know, a couple plays later. It's ridiculous. I mean, he was just in a good position. He had barely touched the wide receiver. I mean, I don't know how you can call pass interference. I personally think it's a no call. And if anything, it's pass interference on the offensive player who had his arms draped over Shields. I don't even think you call that. I just think you call it an incomplete pass. But regardless, still the wrong call by the officials to call it whatsoever. On defense, ridiculous. Any of those calls go the other way, and it's a different game. Kevin on the live blog saying, Sam Shields has been very good this year, and it, no doubt about it. How about Sam Shields? He's not getting enough credit right now for what he's doing. He really has been helping out this Packers defense. Packers defense turning it around. Little bit of a rough time in week one, but week two and three, holy cow, there is some solid play there. You know, you go back to week one. Remember when Charles Woodson talked to the media after week one? And, you know, what really was a poor performance. And basically saying how he's not worried. You know, and people kind of thought maybe he was being a little bit too cocky, perhaps. Here the Packers really got it handed to them in week one. And Charles Woodson didn't seem concerned. And perhaps Charles Woodson was right. I mean, this Packers defense has been really good the last 2 weeks. Really good. Really good. I mean, they haven't played perhaps the best, most prolific offenses in the NFL. But still, I think the Bears average 2.9 yards per pass attempt. That's pass attempt, not run attempt. Pass attempt per passing play. It might be per passing play, not passing attempt. 2.9 yards. Less than 3 yards per passing play. Unbelievable. And then to, like I said, during our interview with Nathan Yonke, Packers hold Russell Wilson to a less than 50% completion rate. You know, Russell Wilson basically had one good play that whole game, the 41-yard touchdown pass to Golden Tate in the first half. You know, great play there. Good job, Seattle. That is basically the only play that really, you know, that the Seahawks did really well on offense. You know, obviously discounting that last play of the game that should have been an interception. Should have. Gosh, you know, it's just painful to rehash this here. But, you know, what can you do? And you know, in my point of view column, I had said that, you know, now there's no choice. You can only move on and use this game as motivation. You move on to the Saints game, and you know, wow, coming into the Saints game, I thought there'd be a lot of attention on Bountygate. And there will be, no doubt about it. You know, I thought there would be a lot of attention on the Saints targeting Aaron Rodgers, according to the report the NFL had put forth, you know, back during the offseason. And there will be. That'll come up as the Packers begin practice this week. But, you know, It's going to take a back seat to what happened this past week and what's going on with the NFL's referees and things like that. It's very interesting how this week is going to play out in the storylines that are going to develop. I mean, the storylines are basically already developed. It's just what direction, I suppose, what the media takes with them. Kevin on the live blog writes, big test for the DBs and linebackers this upcoming week. The Saints can be explosive. No doubt about that either. You know, I'm surprised about what the Saints have done this year. I can't believe they're 0-3. Who would have predicted that? The Saints 0-3 with that offense led by Drew Brees. You know, pretty incredible, right? I have a lot of respect for Drew Brees as an NFL quarterback. I think he's one of the best in the game. And, you know, to see them struggling right now really surprises me. I mean, it surprises a lot of people how poor the Packers offense is playing as well. So maybe it shouldn't be a surprise, you know, seeing as two of the most explosive offenses in the NFL last year are now slow out of the gates so far in this 2012 season for the Packers. But, you know, I think the Saints have the capability to explode at any time. You know, I think Drew Brees can get hot, and the Packers defense, yes, is going to have to be on top of their game to stop this attack. You know, good quarterback there in New Orleans, good receivers, going to have to be prepared for that. And you know, the Packers defense is going to have to keep up its good play, its string of solid play that has lasted the past 2 weeks, and hopefully will continue to play well through this week and the rest of the season, for that matter. They're going to have to, because now the Packers got to dig themselves out of a hole. Packers now 1-2. They're behind a game to both the Bears and the Vikings, who won this past weekend. You know, the good thing going forward here is the Packers still have 5 games against NFC North opponents. And they all come, I think, in November and later, if I'm correct. You know, November, December, when all these games take place. But in the rest of the NFC North. So, you know, there's a lot of room, a lot of ground to make up, but the Packers can do it the way the schedule sets up. And, you know, it'll be important to win against just NFC teams in general, like the Saints. That starts this week. So, Packers have their work cut out for them, but they can do it. You know, they got to use this as motivation. They should. They will. They will. I think Charles Woodson acknowledged that in an interview. He said that to Mike Silver last night. Mike Silver of Yahoo Sports joining us here at Cheesehead TV on Packer Transplants. If you haven't listened to Packer Transplants last night, I encourage you here after this show is done. Go listen to the podcasted version or the on-demand version. It'll be on our homepage as soon as this show is done. Yeah, Michael Silver talking to Charles Woodson, saying the Packers going to use this as motivation for the rest of the season. You have to. I mean, you just move on. The NFL's not changing the outcome. So now you're going to have to be really good from here on out. The Packers have 2 losses this season. That's 2 more than all of last year. 2 more than all of last year. So, this week really is important against the Saints, because after this week, they have to go on 3 straight road games. They visit Indianapolis, St. Louis, and then Houston. Houston, one of the last undefeated teams in the NFL. One of the best teams in the NFL. That's going to be a tough one. But you can't take any road game for granted, even though 2 of them are against Indianapolis and St. Louis, who people think might be some of the weaker teams in the NFL. You can't take any game for granted. You know, those are going to be tough games. They always are. This is the NFL, where parity reigns. Can't take any game for granted. That'll do it, folks, for today's episode of Railbird Central. It's past 9 a.m. Thanks for joining us, as always. We'll be back on Friday when Kyle Cousineau of Cheesehead Radio joins us to talk about Throwback Weekend. That's right, Throwback Weekend, hosted by Pocket Doppler, by Cheesehead TV, a whole bunch of other sponsors. Pardon me, I can't name them all, but really excited for this weekend. Hope you all can make it. Come on down to the Green Bay Distillery, which is right across the road from Lambeau Field, on Saturday, and come hang out with us. All the details at throwbackweekend.com. Can't wait to see you there. Should be a fun time. Saturday night, then a tailgate on Sunday. Check it out. But until then, we'll see you, folks. On behalf of everyone here at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Kirivu. I leave you today with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.